back to the show. You're looking at or listening to interviews with Charles Sanbury, Prince Charles, and I have on the show here Nadine El-Bitar. She's here to share her story, her life in Lebanon, her life here in the States, and what is going on with the political atmosphere there in Lebanon. Nadine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Charles, and I'm very happy to be with you on the show today.
Tell me a little bit about yourself so these the viewers and listeners know who you are, and then we'll go into the more serious aspects as far as the current issue that happened there in your country.
Yes, thank you, Charles. So, yes, my name is Nadine El-Bitar, and I am from Lebanon, the Middle East. I grew up in a small town in the south of Lebanon, and I moved with my family when I was 8 years old in the 85 to Beirut because of the war. And since that time, we lived in Beirut. I went to school there, college, and worked there before I moved to the U.S. In the late 2000s.
Okay, great. And so you came here to States when?
Late 2006. Was August 2006, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so tell us about your upbringing. Tell us how it was before and what the recent changes has been, even up to the explosion that we're hearing on the news.
Yes, I would like to talk about that. So my generation, Charles, is the generation of the civil war in Lebanon that started in 75 and lasted for 30 years. So during this time, we went through a lot of religious war, a lot of trauma because we as my family, we lost our house in the south. We were not allowed to go back until 11 years later because we were from minority Christian and the majority there were Muslim. So when we moved to Beirut, we had to adjust to a new life and we made it home. But that was tough. And then we had the Syrian occupation. And it was a tough time economically on Lebanon. So middle class did not exist. My parents, both of them were in the teaching profession and we were considered middle class. But when with the Syrian occupation and all the wars, the middle class was wiped out. So, you know, we had poor and the rich. And this also was weighing on a lot of people in Lebanon. Another thing that I experienced there is all the religious war. We had to interrupt schools for years because, or go to another area in Lebanon because life was suspended. And Beirut was always the place where all things happened, like this explosion a few days ago. So yeah, we lived we had constant things coming up in Lebanon. We had always to think about what's gonna come tomorrow. So I think my parents had really hard time raising us, and now the history is coming back repeating itself again, and this is very unfortunate for people who are very resilient. I come from people who really, they lose houses, they lose everything they have, and then they rebuild. But this time, I think what I see and how I hear from them, they really lost hope this time. It was a big hit. So yeah, that was my childhood. We were raised in a very nice, we went to school there. We had the best education system. We, all the Lebanese, we speak minimum three languages. We have the Arabic and the French and English. So we really love education. We excel everywhere we go because we are brought up to solve problems, probably because of all the constant changes that we witness in Lebanon. We are problem solvers. So yeah, I mean, that was my life there. I really was very grateful to be part of a very nice company. We work with fashion designers and fashion industry. So that was the time where I enjoyed it the most in Lebanon. It was a period where we did not have war, where Beirut was rebuilt again from the war that witnessed in earlier in the 80s. So I had great fun, and everybody knows Beirut for its great scene of parties. It's the best place to go out and have fun because Lebanese people like to have fun and they know how to do it. We have the best music, best DJs, best food. So we really are enthusiastic people, regardless of all what's happening to us. We still like to go out and have fun. So that was the last memories from me before I came to the U.S. Having fun, enjoying my life, and just living like everybody else in the world who deserves to be living a normal life.
Yeah, you made a good point. Made me think about the money aspect. I was doing a little bit of research before this interview, and it's recorded that they're number three as far as having the most debt or the deepest deficit as far as countries. Japan is number one, and number three is Lebanon. So explain that, the economy, the stresses that the everyday person may go through as far as trying to feed their families, the banking system, and all of that.
Yes, so my country has been dealing with financial crisis, the biggest in its history since last fall. In summary, the banks filed bankruptcy, meaning people who have money in the banks in Lebanon, as if they don't have it, because they cannot take their money out from their account. People only are allowed at certain banks to only take $200 worth of money in a week. So, and Lebanon, because it's small and because people love education, most of them, they have kids outside Lebanon for studying or who they live. So this is a big problem for people. And it's making it a bigger problem. It's now because people who want to escape this country, who lost hope, they even want to just go and never come back. They cannot, because they cannot have access to their money. So it feels like they are trapped in the system that failed them, the bank, the central bank. So this is something very big and very huge. Plus, you have the value of our lira. It's called lira, our money currency. It's depreciating more and more and more. $1 just a year ago, less than a year ago, was equal 1,500 lira. You know how much it is now? $1 is being traded in the black market for 20,000 lira. So from 1,500 to 20,000. This is insane. Some people are making good money from this situation, and some people are getting more poor and more poor. Not to mention, of course, you have no jobs, you have the pandemic, you have people losing their jobs and everything they have. So it's a very, very critical period for Lebanon since last month.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because if we look on the news, we have the pandemic here in the States. We have uprisings as far as protesting related to Black Lives Matter and other civil rights initiatives. And so from what I understand, there was something similar happening there in Lebanon as well.
Yes, a lot of protests because people cannot take it anymore. The last 30 years or 40 years or so, the people of Lebanon had patience. They had hope that one day this ruling class is gonna be looking more after them. Things are gonna change, but unfortunately, things only change for the worse, because this ruling class is always being elected, whether directly or indirectly. People pass, it seems like they are passing it to their sons and their sons to their sons. So nothing, we did not see any change in the government since 40 years. We were a French colony, we took our independence, and we are on papers a democracy, sorry for that. But our election, the way it's handled and who we are electing, never been really democratic. so far. That's why people went to the street. They are protesting. We need our rights. We need to see some change. Give us a change. Nothing happened. And then you have COVID hitting in March, and now leading to this tragedy, to the explosion in, you know, August 4th. So very, very, it seems like my country is doomed. I don't know what's going on there.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the explosion, because I know that there's been rumors. There's a lot of talk about the government being corrupt. And so kind of elaborate on that as far as not just your views, but what you think the consensus are as it relates to other natives of Lebanon. Do you think they feel similar beliefs about what has happened? And again, kind of explain how you feel and how others may feel about this incident from your country.
I'm feeling very devastated and deeply sad to see my country from far sinking and sinking in blood. A lot of people have lost their life in this explosion. And no matter what are the reason for that, now the consensus is it's an accident, but people are angry. Even if it's only an accident, that it could have been avoided if and only if the government did something about 2,700 tons of highly explosive chemicals stored at the port of Beirut. So only if they had done something about that, a whole city could have been saved. So imagine how people are feeling about it. Imagine how moms who lost their daughter, their sons. People lost firefighters just going there and not knowing that this is gonna explode. They thought they are going to put fire down because there were two explosions. The first one was fire. So they rushed there not knowing that there's another one that is gonna explode. So this is sad. This is devastating. People are traumatized. People are not able to talk. People are still lost. They don't know where they are because some of them, they were flying. I heard stories that people were flying in the sea. People are still under the sea, still people under the rubble. And we didn't see anybody from the government coming to say, I'm sorry for the loss of the life of our beloved people. So the government is not even present. So this silence of the government is making things feel even worse. I mean, what do you expect? What do you want when you are in a tragedy? You want someone to come and comfort you. And even the comfort of a government, as people, we're not getting it. So this is something. When you look at the social media, people are so enraged. They really lost any respect, any trust to their government. And maybe this is the time where people are probably going to be united again because they have one cause. I think this is going to bring people more together because all our life and all the war that we witnessed in Lebanon has been always been between a Christian and Muslim, or Christian together, or different groups of Muslim together. So I hope that this is the time where we're gonna come together as a united nation. So yeah, I'm telling you, this is very horrible, and nobody witnessed this, the scale of the damage and tragedy like this explosion, even in the worst, in the darkest days in Lebanon. Nothing compared to that. This explosion is a crime.
Great. I like how you said that we need to come together. As you know, we have issues here in the States, and we need to come together. It seems like we just need to come together as a global thing to kind of solve these problems and issues. So, Nadine, how do we stay in contact with you?
I'm under Nadine Al-Bitar, and I'll be happy to engage and share more stories with you. So find me on Facebook.
Well, thank you, Nadine, for coming to the show. We want to thank you all for listening and watching the show. Have an awesome, awesome day.